This is McGuire on the Wire, brought to you by McGuire Sponsel. We are a national consulting firm aiming to provide facts, advice, and updates on the ever-changing world of tax law. This podcast will give you base-level information as well as high-level thought leadership on how to navigate these technical disciplines. At McGuire Sponsel, we provide unique services to our clients using an old-school, hands-on approach that is deeply respected within the CPA industry. Now stick around and listen to one of our experts. We're glad you're here.
Well, hello, everyone. Justin Gephardt, shareholder at McGuire Sponsel here, doing another guest podcast for McGuire on the Wire. Today, I've got my colleague Sierra with me, and to give her a little a chance to kind of talk about her background and what area she oversees within McGuire Sponsel. You know, Sierra's a little bit different. She's kind of the queen of Kentucky, a little royalty with us today. So I think it'll be a good little podcast here to get a little bit of her background and a little bit of a different practice line than what we've discussed with some of our relationship managers on past podcasts. So with that, Sierra, why don't you introduce yourself to the world here?
Well, thank you, Justin. If I'd known that you were going to describe me as the Queen of Kentucky, I would have worn my pageant sash today. I was not prepared for that.
You got your cowboy boots, though.
I do.
You're ready.
I have my cowboy boots and my Team Kentucky t-shirt on today. So we're ready to represent Kentucky. Pretty excited about being on the podcast today and serving as a guest on this podcast. To tell you a little bit about how I came to McGuire Sponsel and the work that I do here, I focus on economic development credits and incentives, which is something that's super important as businesses are expanding. It's probably the most forgotten about part every time a business plans for an expansion is making sure that they're looking at the tax advantages of credits and incentives for this operation. I joined McGuire Sponsel from economic development, working with the mayor's office in Louisville and having worked with the chamber. So very familiar with the regional implications of economic development in Kentucky and how it straddles the river down on the southern Indiana side and making sure that we're helping businesses make good decisions between two different business markets that are divided by the river in that geographic territory. From that perspective, it's a great opportunity for businesses that are looking at expanding in Kentucky to pursue this path to credits and incentives. Kentucky has a huge value, and in their incentive program, we typically advise clients it's going to be anywhere from $6,000 to about $10,000 per new job that you're hiring, and we've even seen it go upwards of close to $20,000 per new job. So there's a ton of value for you in Kentucky incentives. And I think that value gets left on the table a lot as companies are planning these expansions. The timeline in Kentucky for an incentive project really has to be at the very forefront. We describe it as looking at this at the infantile stage of your expansion process. So the minute you start thinking about an expansion, that's when to call your credits and incentives consultant to figure out how it best fits into your tax position and into your plans for expansion in that case. So we're pretty, we're excited about the Kentucky market. We're seeing a lot of movement in Kentucky. We're seeing a lot of manufacturing operations expand, both coming up from Nashville and wanting to expand in the southern Kentucky Bowling Green region and looking at the Indiana side coming into the Louisville region in some ways to access a different market and labor source.
Perfect. You know, one thing that has really struck me about Kentucky, here at McGuire Sponsel, we're a national firm. Work with 350 firms, CPA firms across the country, and our national presence really resonates. But when we talk about Kentucky, one thing that, as I said earlier, that really has struck me is that Kentucky does business with Kentucky people, and it's all about the relationships.
Yeah.
And I think you and I can appreciate that with our Kentucky backgrounds. But could you kind of speak a little bit to that and kind of what do you bring to the table when, due to your experience with the Kentucky, and how does that help separate you from maybe some others?
Yeah, and credits and incentives are particularly, it's particularly a locally driven process. So even though a firm may have national experience, which McGuire Sponsel does, and we certainly work deals in all the states, we are unique in our markets that we're located in Indiana and Kentucky of having that local presence and really driving local deals. Kentucky is one of those places that we've grown up with people across the state. It's probably the whole state. I always describe as a small town. It's not just, you know, LaRue County where I'm from, or, you know, some of these Pikeville down in eastern Kentucky, or Owensboro down in western Kentucky that are small towns. The entire state's a small town. And Kentuckians really like those experiences. They like talking about bourbon. They like talking about what's going on in their small community. There's a lot of this relationship driven before you even get down to business. I always tell people that, you know, the first time that we meet someone and have a meeting with them, we probably spend 30 minutes figuring out who we know in common before we get started with the actual business of the meeting. And that relationship building and knowing that you're going to get that type of experience when you come to Kentucky, I think, is something that McGuire Sponsel does really well for their clients. It's going to be that type of concierge level experience. We're going to have a great client experience for you. And that's something that is unique, I think, from our experience in our operations in Kentucky.
So as we come out of 2020, and you know, here it is, April of 21, you know, we hope that things are looking a little bit better on the pandemic front. How has the pandemic affected our credits and incentives practice? And where do you kind of see over the next 1 to 2 years how that changes the environment?
Yeah, so the one thing that's been really, we talked about this a lot at the beginning of the pandemic and about how the market was going to be a very V-shaped curve. In terms of the recovery, and I think we're truly seeing that this was not something that was similar to the financial crisis where it was depressed for a long time. Businesses are coming out of the pandemic with the market being as hot, in some cases, if not hotter than it was going into the pandemic, but they're coming out with the advantage of having a lot of cash to go into investments and to expand their business and to keep their business moving forward. And that's really where we're trying to hit as a credits and incentives team, is to make sure that as companies are saying, you know, we're really resource rich right now and we need to plan for this market growth that we know is coming and coming in really hot, that we're aligning credits and incentive deals with those. And that's where I see a strong opportunity to move forward, particularly with economic development incentives, is because companies know that they need to hire new workers to meet these new market demands. And then they're also feeling the need to increase the wages for those workers because the labor market is tight. So that's a perfect opportunity for credits and incentives. If you're coming in, you're bringing in wages into the market that may be higher than a rural Kentucky county or a metro area in Kentucky, then those are really opportunities where we need to look at getting you an incentive deal so that we're setting you up for success for that next level of expansion.
Yeah, and so I'm sitting here kind of reflecting on my, you know, my past and everything, all of my involvements in Kentucky. You know, I have a lot of family growing down in Chaplin, Kentucky, very small town, just right outside of Springfield and Bloomfield, Kentucky. And it's amazing kind of the growth that I've seen through the years in the state. And you kind of hit this message earlier just about all the manufacturing that's starting to move through Kentucky. So we sit here and we talk about credits and incentives, and I want to take a minute to kind of maybe drill in on that, because that topic can be so large. I think people hear credits and incentives and they aren't necessarily sure what that all encompasses. Could you kind of share, you know, what are some of the programs within the credits and incentives package that really resonates with industries within Kentucky? Because as we know, states all differ in those areas. Could you talk about what are some of the attractive packages that you're seeing right now within the state of Kentucky?
Sure. One of our biggest incentive programs is a payroll incentive, and that's the one that most people are comfortable with using. It's something that your companies get pretty frequently in Kentucky. So we see that being used frequently when new operations are expanding. What we see being used less frequently as operations are expanding are these incentives that are tied to either your construction costs or your property taxes in Kentucky. And so we have two options in Kentucky for incentives that are tied to your physical structure of your building and how you're expanding your building. The first of those is a program called KIA, which is a rebate on sales tax in Kentucky. So we're one of the states that if you come in, you're buying construction materials in Kentucky, you're not going to have an exemption. You're still going to have to pay your 6% sales tax on those, which is significant for a company that may be doing a multi-million dollar expansion. KIA allows us to get a rebate of those expenses and that tax dollars for a company, which is really important and can be a direct cash inflow for your business in that particular situation. what we see less frequently in Kentucky and what we're really interested in doing more of are what are called industrial revenue bonds. And people typically think about those as a financing mechanism as opposed to a method of abating property tax in Kentucky. And there's a lot of value to using these to abate property tax in Kentucky and make sure that we're setting your business up for long-term success over a 10, a 20-year, or 30-year window. And that's something that a lot of companies just leave on the table because it's complicated and it may not be the easiest or low-hanging fruit for you to grab as you're doing your expansion. And as a consultant, those are the types of things that we want to go get for clients. We want to know that we're delivering value for you in ways that you wouldn't be able to deliver for yourself. Our next advantage that we have as a consultant in the Kentucky market is that compliance is a little bit of a cumbersome activity in Kentucky as you're reclaiming value for these incentives. I don't have real scientific numbers on these, but I would estimate close to 70% of incentives that are awarded in Kentucky go unclaimed, and that's a major issue for a business. And it's actually a major issue for a local community. So if you go through the trouble of a local community, from the community's perspective, to try to recruit this business to expand into your community, and then you do the effort to get them a tax incentive package, but there's no mechanism to make sure that they're claiming that benefit, then you don't get to keep that tax dollars from the state within your communities to foster other developments. And then from the company's perspective, like, you're leaving some significant dollars on the table, and that's what, you know, we don't want to have see throughout the process. We want to make sure we get that money back into your pocket as a business.
Yeah, I think you brought up a really good point there. On the compliance side, we see that all the time. And that's one reason, you know, the million-dollar question that we get is, well, why can't I just do this? Why can't I just try to file for some of these incentives? And compliance is one piece of that, is that we help ease the burden on your team to help with the compliance side. But the secondary piece, and something I'd ask you to kind of hit on, is how do we maximize? You know, what are we doing that maybe someone who doesn't have as much experience, yeah, from an incentive standpoint, what value are we bringing to the table? Could you talk about that?
We just finished a site selection project that looked at six states in the South, looked at, came down to Indiana, Southern Indiana, the Louisville area as a final site, and they were looking at New Albany and they were looking at Spartanburg, South Carolina. So we have two incentive, we get to the client, we bring the client two incentive packages, and we're looking at the dollar value for these incentives. So Indiana's incentive package came in lower than South Carolina. South Carolina had the incentive package was probably three times the size of Indiana's incentive offer. But as a consultant, our job is to let our client know that we don't need to get blinded by big numbers. We want to make sure that you're realizing the benefit from these incentive programs. And South Carolina just didn't have an incentive program our client could use. They weren't going to have the tax liability to be able to use this flashy incentive deal, whereas in Indiana, they were going to have the appropriate tax liability and the incentives were refundable, which means that they could come back to the client in a direct cash payment. And that makes a difference to a client, as giving them that type of advice that, you know, these numbers look wildly different, but when it comes down to whether or not it's usable for you as a business, that's a different type of conversation.
As a firm, we traditionally work with CPA firms. Uh-huh. As I mentioned, 350 firms across the country. Now, on our credits and incentives team, we work a little bit more on the bankers and brokers side. Not that we don't work with CPA firms, but one of the challenges that we found with CPA firms, because bankers and brokers normally are on the front end of a lot of these deals, mm-hmm. okay? CPAs, and again, I've got a public accounting background, so I kind of can speak a little bit to this experience. Sometimes we don't know what our clients are doing until they've already done it.
Yeah.
And that can have a negative impact when we talk about these credits and incentives packages. So could you talk about maybe what are some of the questions that CPAs should be asking their clients to kind of alleviate that future pain point or missing out on some of these tremendous tax savings?
Yeah, and I think that we're seeing this trend in the CPA industry where CPAs are becoming more business consultants as opposed to bookkeepers and recorders of like business transactions. And this is this really hits home to that trend and that changing trend within the CPA industry. Is this is an opportunity to ask some business analytic type of questions. Are you planning an expansion? Are you planning on adding new jobs? What does that look like for you? Those are typically the triggers that I always ask people. I also sometimes ask when I'm doing a business outreach call, what are some of the pain points? So if the pain point is that we just can't get enough workers and they're going to need to look at upskilling those workers to meet the industry trends. So we just talked to a manufacturer in Louisville that was a cardboard box manufacturing operation. So they're making a lot of boxes, but they're having trouble getting workers at their wages that they were currently paying. So they want to make some pretty significant investments into machinery so that they can then, it requires higher wage workers. So they're going to make this investment in the machinery and then they're going to pay their workers a higher wage because it becomes a digital operation. They're, you know, creates a better opportunity for their workers. It increases their output. Those are some of the types of questions we typically ask as we're going in and discussing some of these expansion plans with our clients and trying to figure out the best incentive fit for them. As a resource, McGuire Sponsor is a resource. It's a great person to bring in if you have clients that are starting to hit some pain points, and then we can ask those questions and so you're ready as a CPA firm to respond to them. And I would you know, always tell people that I'd rather go take a meeting with a client and explain what Kentucky credits and incentives are as opposed to just saying no, that that's not going to be a good fit for the client at this time and then not taking that meeting. Kentucky's running into a little bit of an issue with these credits and incentives because people don't really know about them and there's not a level of education or expertise. So from our perspective as a consultant within the state of Kentucky, I think it's really good that we're just getting this, even an opportunity to educate people about how to fit these into your plans for growth. And someone may only go through a credits and incentive deal twice in their lifetime with a business. They might plan one or two major expansions. I would rather us have talked to that client 5 years before that expansion and planted the seed for credits and incentives than us get to year six and have missed that opportunity for that client.
Your answer led right into this next question. You know, as we sit here in our Indianapolis office, okay, we've taken advantage of C&I packages. You know, as we're growing, and we've been able to secure training grants and some of those payroll tax credit dollars that you spoke about earlier. You know, as you talk about the educational pieces, when should a firm call you? Or when should a banker or broker? You know, what is a general kind of guideline? Are we talking 5 jobs in the state of Kentucky? Are we talking 30? How many years are we looking at? Are there any industries that wouldn't apply?
Yeah. So one of the things that we tell people that if you can look at 20 jobs in a 3 to 5 year time range, that's a really good threshold for us to start the conversation on incentives. And not everyone is going to be adding, you know, 20 jobs in 3 to 5 years, but more businesses than you think are. And a lot of businesses think, well, I'm going to add 2 people this year, I'm going to add 2 people next year. Well, they really get into it and suddenly now they've added 20 and they didn't realize that they were going to add that many. Kentucky is unique that we have to draw a line in the sand early on before this project is ever announced or before a lease is signed, before any employee is hired. And it's better to go ahead and have that line in the sand with an incentive deal in place and you not take advantage of it than to do this expansion without that incentive deal in place. So that's one of the things I always encourage people to look at and businesses to look like. If you think you're going to grow, let's go ahead and get an incentive deal in place for you. At the worst that could happen is that you don't take advantage of it. The best thing that happens is that you have this incentive deal in place and you're able to support this employee growth through some of these tax advantages.
Spot on. I think sometimes when we talk about these big incentive programs, people envision the Amazons, the Googles of the world. We need to hire so many hundreds of jobs. And when you put it in that context of 20 jobs over 3 years, that is a pretty reasonable number for a lot of businesses. And like you said, there's a lot of great dollars there for businesses to help them grow.
And from a community perspective, a good economic development strategy focuses on supporting your expanding locally owned businesses as opposed to winning the lottery with an Amazon location or a UPS location. And that's something that I think that, you know, we're starting to see communities really look at because they know that good economic development strategy is like planning for your retirement. You do a little bit and support these little activities, and then you still want to play the lottery. Like, you want to buy that lottery ticket and bid on some of these, like, these big projects that are flashy projects because it's fun and it encourages you to dream as a community. But knowing that you can support locally owned businesses with their expansion and raise these businesses in your own community is something that's super important and something that we want to really encourage.
Great. Well, one final question is the golden question. You're sitting here on race weekend, Derby weekend. What's your bourbon of choice?
Oh, this is where I get into trouble because I grew up in bourbon country and, you know, I started drinking bourbon really early in life as opposed to people who are just late on the bandwagon. In my opinion, I am an Evan Williams person. And that's what I tell people, that Kentucky is really great because we have really affordable bourbon options that are really good drinks of choice. And everyone wants to go buy a fancy bourbon and brag about it to their friends. And we have some really great drinkable bourbons. And I'd rather you drink your bourbon than have it up on a shelf.
Yeah, I'll never forget. We go down to Woodford every year, and we do a tasting and a barrel selection. And that's one thing that they always say. It's like bourbon's meant to be shared with your friends and to drink it, not sit on a shelf. I know we've got a few colleagues here in our office that like to collect, you know, the fancy bottles. But find me a chair and I'll come drink with you. So
yeah.
Thanks for your time. I thought this was really great. You did a good job of sharing what the capabilities of our accredits and incentives team and some of the resources you can bring in. To everybody that's listening, thank you for your time. And please don't hesitate to reach out. And thank you again.
Thanks.
Thanks so much for listening to McGuire on the Wire. Have a question from today's episode or interested in our team covering another topic? Reach out to us at McGuire on the Wire at McGuireSponsal.com.